Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Greg Bordonaro from the Hartford Business Journal joining us now for the Connecticut Business Blend. Let's start with sports. I can't believe sports betting is 3 years. It feels like yesterday. And I'm not sure how I feel about it, but how has it gone for Connecticut, Greg?
Overall, it hasn't gone too bad so far in 3 years. About $5 billion has been wagered on sports betting in Connecticut, and that's generated about $383 million in revenue for the operators. And the operators include the Connecticut Lottery, which runs 10 of the retail brick-and-mortar sites that allow sports betting. Mohegan Sun and Foxwoods both offer sports betting. Mohegan Sun has a partnership with FanDuel, and Foxwoods with DraftKings. And of course, besides the brick and mortar locations, there's online sports betting as well. And in terms of the state's revenue, so far, $53 million in basically tax revenue has been generated from sports betting. They projected about $19.3 million in the first year of the program. It's kind of on pace with the early projections. But lottery officials say that it's still sort of in the early stages. There's some people who still don't even know that sports betting is legalized in Connecticut yet, and they expect continued growth in the marketplace.
Now, I don't know how much you delve into it, but they basically have projections for all the years. Like, they knew where they might be in year three.
So the only thing that's been on record in terms of what they were projecting was year one. Lottery officials wouldn't really go into projections for future years after that. I'm sure they have their own projections, but they haven't really shared them. They haven't really shared with us. And just for comparisons, too, when online sports betting and sports betting was legalized, we also legalized online casino gaming, and that's actually been a bigger market. Connecticut has collected $160 million in tax revenue from online casino gaming, which came in around the same time. So that's obviously been a bigger market than just the sports betting.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry to interrupt. I've talked about a million times on the show that it's a sport. Online casino games also infinitely more dangerous, and people don't even talk about it because it's available 24/7. And there's, if you sports bet, it's on an event. And so it's event focused, but you could play blackjack for 15 hours a day if you want. And that's super dangerous. We're talking with Greg Bordonaro. Do you want to say something real quick or no?
In general, Connecticut, is relying more and more on sin taxes than it ever has before. And I think, a lot of states are as they deal with budget constraints.
Yeah. Greg Bordonaro, Hartford Business Journal here on Bryan & Company. Self-driving technology is something we talk a lot about, and it's obviously we follow it, but we haven't had much to say about it, like specifically directly here in Connecticut. Is that going to change?
So there's this project at UConn's campus, a private investor named Steve Cortese. He's been on this project now for a few years. He basically wants to build out an autonomous vehicle testing facility. A few years ago, he rolled out this grand plan for a 100-acre project, like $30 to $40 million investment to create this autonomous vehicle testing facility in a smart city. He's still on it, but he scaled it down a little bit. Now it's going to be on 15 acres of the UConn campus, and it's about a $15 million project. The reason why we just wrote about it again is because the UConn Board of Trustees basically approved the sale of some of this land to the investor, Steve Cortese. And he says he's now going to be moving forward with a scaled down version of the project. And it's about, it's going to be a partnership with UConn. So maybe UConn will lease some space within the facility. But he's also trying to recruit companies that are doing autonomous vehicle technology. He says there are various startups in Massachusetts and New York who are looking for autonomous vehicle testing facilities. The University of Michigan is known for having one of the bigger ones in the United States. There's not a whole lot of these out there right now. UConn is trying to get in the game and trying to become sort of a leader in this area. I don't think UConn is going to become this test bed of autonomous vehicle technology. In fact, autonomous vehicles right now are outlawed in Connecticut, so we can't even really have them here. But you know, it's interesting, interesting concept, and interesting that it's going to be in Connecticut, and interesting to be in stores.
Yeah, but I don't understand why, like, a Google has all the money; they could just find a place and do it. From a business standpoint, I find it interesting that it's like a if we build it, they will come type thing, without having secured a corporate partner that's pursuing the technology.
Yeah, he's been having talks with various corporate interests who have investments or operators of sort of some of the various technologies in this space. He says he'll easily be able to raise the $15 million and easily be able to raise the revenue. And I'm assuming UConn has done some vetting of the concept. Although really, UConn really doesn't have a stake in this thing. This is a private enterprise. He's just buying this land from UConn. Right. But he's confident he can make it work. You know, a lot of people said in the past, I've said they can make concepts work, and they don't work. But he's confident on it, and he's stuck with this project for quite some time now too. So, and he has scaled it down. So maybe his first ambitions weren't achievable, but he thinks this sort of more scaled down version is.
Greg Bordenaro of the Hartford Business Journal joining us here for the Connecticut Business Blend on Mondays at 8:50. So the now former head of CVS ran Aetna, because I've been trying to think about this, and we've talked about it a little bit. Now that they might spin off Aetna, now the CEO is gone, there's been more layoffs, and it does include some in Connecticut. And then what if they spun off Aetna? You can talk a little bit about it, but if they spun off Aetna and went on its own, would that possibly be good for us in Connecticut?
It depends. Right now, CVS's financial struggles have been talked about for a while. A lot of it does stem from Aetna, so the insurance business itself is causing some of the issues there. And it has been a target of some of the cost cutting. Although, they announced 5,000 layoffs, and there's only about 400 connected to Aetna. So it's not as if they're really targeting Aetna for significant declines. My thing is that there's going to be less influence, and it has going to have less influence in the C-suite of CVS, because the new CEO, David Joyner, he's a longtime CVS executive, so his knowledge and affiliation are more with the CVS part of the company than the Aetna part of the company. I looked him up on LinkedIn. According to his LinkedIn, he lives in South Lake, Texas, so not close to Hartford. Whether would a spinoff be good or bad for Aetna, it depends on who purchased them. If it's bought out by a private equity firm or a hedge fund, you got to be careful with those kind of deals, because there's always significant cost cutting involved there. Right. So it really kind of depends. I think an insurance business, a large insurance business, kind of needs the public markets, because it is a capital intensive business in terms of claims and having those capital ratios. It's a complicated business. I'm not sure. It'd be challenging, I think, for Aetna to be by itself as a private company, because none of the major insurers in the United States are privately held.
But the bottom line is that an Aetna backgrounded person ran the company. Now it's CVS person.
Exactly. So, yeah. That's the bottom line with this change.
All right. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it. Have a great week.
Yep. You too.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.